Hi, and welcome to the Cyber Podcast. I am your host, Christoph Limpelair, and today we have another fun episode with Cyber member Emily Pearson. I asked Emily to do an episode because of her background and recent transition into the cybersecurity field. Now, I don't want to give too much away at this point since we're going to talk about it more in the episode, but she's been transitioning from the Navy and recently landed her first cybersecurity job. So I wanted to get her advice on how she did it, what she learned along the way, and also how she studied for and earned her Security Plus certification. So Emily, welcome to the Cyber Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Christoph. It's been a pleasure. This is a full circle moment because I remember trying to get this job and I found the Cyber Podcast on Spotify and listened to the episode with Bob Salmon and, took off from there. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here. I love hearing these success stories and learning from that. And I have no doubt that this episode will help some of our other listeners who are also looking to enter this field and learn from how you did it, right? Learn about your background, learn about the steps that you took to get certified, and also to hear from you like, hey, did my education help? Did the certification help? Did my background in the Navy help? And how did it help? So we're gonna uncover all that information in this episode, but first things first, I understand that you recently moved to Seattle. So how's that going so far? Is it what you expected?
Yeah, it's going great. For the most part, it is pretty much what I expected. Of course, we're living in weird times right now, so it's not as crowded as I had anticipated to be, but I'm super grateful that, I don't have to really deal with traffic that much. Things are walking distance from me. If I really need to go to the store and get a gallon of milk, I can do that within 10 minutes and be back in my place. I'm close to the really touristy area, so I'm minutes walk away from the Amazon Spears, from Pike's Place. So that's something I really enjoyed about moving to Seattle, was being able to have the freedom to do, all this cool stuff and be able to live in the city and experience city life.
It's always funny when you talk to people who move to a new city or have been there all their lives even. And I'm gonna have to follow up with you in a couple of years because I'm curious to hear if you go to any of those tourist attractions or like the big landmarks, or if you only go to maybe one or two and then years and years happen to go by and you wake up one day and realize, wow, I've been here for so long, I've never actually checked out all these different landmarks. And I can definitely say that's been the case with me too, of just moving to an area and never actually exploring some of those specific landmarks that people travel to go see. So I'll be curious to see if that's the case with you or not in a couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely want to try to make the most of it. I want to, definitely try to see all that there is because, it's a perfect opportunity. So definitely.
So what made you decide to move to Seattle? Was it for the job position?
Job position, that was kind of like a secondary thought. So what really made me fall in love with the city was that I was visiting my husband out here back in 2019, and he was stationed at Bremerton at the time, and we had been doing long distance for a while, and figured that it was time to see each other again after months. And he took me to the city. We got to do all these cool things, go to Pike's Place, ride the Seattle Wheel, and go up to the Space Needle. And I really love the culture out there. And, I honestly didn't know this, but I realized how many tech companies are out here. Like Amazon is headquartered out here. Microsoft is in Renton. And there's so many different opportunities to move throughout the IT industry and, try to network and meet other people that are trying to do the same thing as you. So just to hear their story and everything. And that's really why I wanted to move to Seattle, was the change of pace, the atmosphere, the job market, and just overall people.
Yeah, Seattle is a beautiful place. I've only surprisingly been there a single time. I don't know why. I wish I could have visited more times, and I'm sure I'll get other opportunities in the future, but I got to go there. I think it was late 2019 to visit a little bit of the Amazon headquarters, like you were talking about, and I forget what they call it, but that bubble where they have all the greenery in there. That was truly impressive. A very, very fun trip. Very pretty city, very pretty place. I wish I'd spent more time there, so I might have to find some time in the next couple of years to go visit at some point.
For sure. And I've heard summers in Seattle are beautiful, and I can't wait for that to happen because, you know, I love the cold weather and the rain over here isn't that bad, but I'm ready for a little bit of a different change in season now.
I definitely can't blame you on that one. And so, you know, I had mentioned, did you move to Seattle for the job? And the answer was no, not necessarily. But I also understand that you recently transitioned into the job that you're in currently. So what do you currently do?
So I am currently a SOC analyst. And basically what my day-to-day kind of duties look like are logging into our SIM and looking at the kinds of cases that pop up throughout the day or something that has popped up before my shift, and just really trying to analyze what's going on, you know, trying to make heads and tails of what could possibly be happening. And then, you know, if a situation or an event looks like it's something serious, we'll escalate it to the appropriate team that's a level above us.
So you are a SOC analyst today, and I definitely want to unpack that a little bit more later in this episode, but let's actually back up just for a moment and talk about your background to figure out how you got to where you are today, because that's amazing. You've got the SOC analyst position down, but I'm sure people are curious too, like how did you get to this point from where you were before? So I want to unravel that journey a little bit more. And I understand that you joined the Navy, I believe, 4 to 5 years ago. Can you tell us what inspired you to join and what you did there?
Sure. So yeah, I joined the Navy in December of 2015. That's when I went to boot camp. And honestly, I was going to college. I was a biology major at Arizona State University. And, you know, I had this vision of becoming a pharmacist, and then a change to me being maybe a physician. And then after that, I was just all like, no, after I took my second college level chemistry class, I was just like, no, I cannot do the medical field at all. It's not for me. So, and then on top of that, I really was struggling to find a way to pay for school. And I, you know, really didn't want to have to take out loans. And I was talking to my mom about it. You know, she was saying people take out loans all the time. You're not going to be any different. But, I ultimately joined the Navy just because I wanted to leave Arizona. You know, I was in a very weird situation in my personal life, and I just wanted to experience something new and just really kind of spread my wings and travel. And so I joined the Navy as a signals intelligence analyst. And what that basically is it can mean different things depending on what branch and, you know, what kind of concentration of training that you do. But for me, I was trained to, you know, pretty much look at waveforms and how communications are sent and received, and just kind of like unpacking the different kinds of technologies that are used, and just like things like that. So a little bit of analytical work, that kind of dealt with cyber, but at a very, very like low level, nothing like packet analysis. But right. I would say that being in an analyst position, it definitely primed me for wanting to prime me for the skills to, you know, kind of have that curiosity and that kind of drive to dig further into a problem and try to find a solution. And then, you know, what kind of resources I have available to, you know, try to find what that solution is.
So it kind of sounds like that helped you figure out your path a little bit and gave you that push that you needed to go in that direction instead of what you were doing before with the biology and chemistry majors at Arizona State. But I understand. So did you go back to Arizona State to study cybersecurity later on as well? Did I understand that right?
Yeah, so I did go back to Arizona State. I actually am currently in the process of getting my bachelor's degree, and I'm in their IT program, and I'm currently trying to complete the program with a concentration in networking and security, and another concentration that I have not decided on yet, but I'm thinking I might be doing information systems. But, you know, that's still something I'm working out with my advisor at the moment. So, yeah, just going to school right now and, you know, doing signals analysis and having kind of like that connection with, you know, cyber and what I was doing before kind of helped pave the way to what I wanted to do.
So you're currently still going to school and you've got the SOC analyst position as well. So you must be pretty busy right now.
I am very busy. it's like, I really can't waste all of the free time that I have when I get off shift to do work, but, you know, it's worth it. I should be done in December this year. So I'm using that as like the ultimate motivating factor to get me to stay on top of my studies.
You're so close. You've almost got it. That's awesome.
Almost
I can't
there.
Wait to, please keep us posted. Let us know. I'd love to congratulate you and celebrate with you for sure. And also on top of the analyst position, although I guess at that point in time, maybe you weren't doing that, but still you went and you studied for your Security Plus certification. I believe that was at some point, maybe early 2020, maybe even late 2019, correct me if I'm wrong. But you went and you studied for the Security Plus certification and then passed that while you were going to Arizona State, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I started getting really serious about getting my Security Plus certification at the beginning of 2020. And I didn't have the courage to take the test until I believe the beginning or middle July. And, you know, being in the military, there are a lot of perks that a lot of service members don't actually know are available to us that can potentially, you know, get your certification test reimbursed or have free training that can, you know, get you really prepped to take the exam, as long as you still put in the work afterwards, of course. But I was able to take some classes through the military for free that was really Security Plus focused and gave me study material. And, you know, of course, I studied that, but I also took other external resources. There was a really great Security Plus book by Daryl Gibson. I believe it's called Security Plus Get Certified. I think that's what the series is called. I'm gonna have to look it up. But that book has helped me tremendously with learning the different concepts and just really getting prepared for not only the certification exam, but for the technical interviews I've had after completing my exam.
That makes a lot of sense. So when you mentioned, you know, I didn't have the confidence at first to go take the exam itself, did you end up getting more of that confidence by just continuing to study and then realizing, you know what, I actually know my stuff. I've got this. Let's go take the exam. And if I don't pass it, so what? I'll just take it again. Was that kind of how that unfolded?
Pretty much. Yeah. And that book that I mentioned earlier, he has practice quizzes at the end of every chapter and, you know, taking those practice quizzes and as well as taking the Pearson practice exams for the different certifications, that definitely helped me as well. And also just like asking other people that have taken in the past, like what are some kinds of testing tips that you can give me? A girl that, you know, she's helped me through my journey tremendously. Her name is Stephanie. And Stephanie gave me a really tremendous testing tip where she said to not read the question first, read the answers that are available for you. Understand why each of those answers are different, and then go and read the question, and then it will be easier for you to decide, you know, what the answer should be. And, you know, that one test taking tip totally helped me. And, you know, it must have worked because I passed. So
yeah, that's a really interesting tip. I don't know that I've ever tried that before. So next time I go for a certification exam, I'll definitely have to try that technique. And if anybody's listening and they do end up trying that too and it works for them, please let us know. Would love to hear if that worked for you. One other thing that I've also found has really helped me personally with passing certification exams is make sure you read every single word in either the question or even in the answers, because sometimes they throw in an extra word that can completely change the meaning of the sentence. And so if you skip that word because you're trying to go through it really quickly, then you'll answer it wrong, even though you really knew what you were doing. So that's definitely, I think, a good combination of tips to take with you as you go and take the exam.
For sure. Yeah, definitely pay attention to those questions, guys. Like, there was a couple of, if I didn't go back and look at them, I would have gotten them wrong for sure.
I know some people have reached out in the cyber community and they've said, you know what, I really enjoy learning, but sometimes I find it difficult to stick to it, to stick to my routine or to even create a routine in the first place. There's so many other things that happen in life that pop up. And given that you've been incredibly busy, Emily, juggling all these different things together, how in the world did you stay on top of your studies? How did you stay on track?
So, you know, it was kind of a unique situation for me because with everything happening last year with COVID-19, there was honestly a lot of downtime. I didn't have to go into work as often because, you know, they're implementing a work from home kind of policy. So I definitely had a lot of time, you know, in and of itself, not having to commute. So a lot of time was saved there. And then, of course, like rotating schedule. So it was, we conducted it a little bit differently. So there is definitely more free time I had in the beginning of the pandemic than I did the previous year, just because of the way that the shift was laid out. So I definitely had a lot of time. It's kind of a unique situation, but definitely every waking hour that I had for like free time when I wasn't, you know, doing schoolwork or just taking care of regular life things, I would be really trying to concentrate on studying for the certification exam, because I ultimately saw it as my ticket out of the military, my ticket into the cybersecurity industry. And that was something that I really, really wanted. And I guess it's all to say that if you really, really want to get into the industry, you'll find different ways to make time for the things that are important.
And so piggybacking off what you just said there, because I'm curious now, that you're about a year into the future, right? If we compare it to when you started trying to get the certification and everything, would you say that getting the certification and working on your degree, did that help you overall get more confidence, but more importantly, break into the industry? Would you say that was invaluable to getting to where you are today?
Yes, I would say, you know, just overall, studying for the certification as well as having a concurrent degree that, you know, deals with the same kind of concepts and topics, that, you know, that definitely exposed me more often to, you know, different kinds of things that I was asked during my interviews and in my technical interviews. And I would say, like, yes, it definitely has helped me. I know, like, it's kind of, you know, people look at certifications differently in this industry. Some like certifications, some don't, but I honestly think that studying for the Security Plus exam, as well as having corresponding college coursework, has definitely helped boost my knowledge, my confidence, and just really, you know, hammered that information into my brain, because, you know, repetition is super important to learn something new.
I love how you answered that, because you kept saying the part of studying for the certification and also studying for the degree, that's really the part that helped propel you forward. And I love that, because I always try to say, don't focus so much on the value of the piece of paper that you get at the end of it. Like, yes, that can help you get the foot in the door, but the truly valuable part of getting a certification, or really frankly getting a degree, is the journey to that certification. It's the part that you spend day in and day out learning the technology, learning the concepts and tools. That's really the part that's going to pay dividends throughout your entire career. And so, you know, unfortunately, I still see on a weekly basis people that are trying to cut corners, that are trying to find a way of getting that certification faster. And so they'll cut some of those study corners. And then once they get to the interview, they can't answer some of the basic questions, and therefore they can't get that job. So I think you approached it absolutely the right way, which is truly focusing on how can I continue learning more and more and more, And then, oh, at the end of it, I happen to get a certification too. And that's great. It's going to help me out. So I love how you answer that.
Definitely. Yeah. And I got that piece of advice from your previous podcast with Bob. So I really have to thank Bob for putting that into my head.
I think there's something else that, because we spoke a few months ago, there's something else that Bob had mentioned in the episode that, if I remember correctly, was also helpful to you. And so I wanted to see if we can talk about that a little bit, because when I first asked you, hey, you know, what's your interest in cybersecurity? It's such a broad field. There's so many different career paths within that specific field that you can take. What are you most interested in? And you mentioned a couple of things, including pen testing, but you also said in order to get into something like pen testing, sometimes you have to start somewhere else. Can you explain a little bit more of what you mean by that? And I think you kind of got that from the Bob Sammons episode as well.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not, pen testing isn't a beginner position by any stretch of the imagination, but in order to get there, you have to really start from scratch. And, you know, it was either, you know, take an IT help desk position and, you know, get my start there, or another entry level, you know, security position. And I was fine with either way. I really just wanted to get my foot into the door, because I know that ultimately I wasn't going to stay as like a level one help desk technician or, you know, a level one SOC analyst. But I just really took away from that episode, just get your foot in the door. As soon as you do, it'll be way easier to transition to where you want to be.
You'll get some of that experience that you can then add to your resume, but that also gives you the practical knowledge that you can then apply towards that pen testing path or even other paths, right? Not necessarily just pen testing, but also potentially you can find mentors that are your coworkers. So instead of, you know, I know a lot of people that are trying to find mentors right now, that can be difficult if you don't really know anybody in the industry yet. One of the ways to get some of that mentorship is to get that entry job and then, you know, network with your coworkers, go to some events, ask questions, and then hopefully you find somebody that you really vibe with very well, and they'll kind of take you under their wing and they'll help you out, answer questions and things like that. And so getting that entry level job can truly help with that, I think, personally.
For sure. Yeah. It's all about the exposure and just getting experience.
So we talked about having getting a certification. We talked about getting a degree, your background in the Navy as well. And you said those experiences definitely helped you get to where you are today. But if you had maybe one or two tips for somebody who's trying to get their foot in the door, who's trying to get that entry level job, what would you say? Or I guess a different way of phrasing that would be, how did you land your job?
So I, you know, first off got my certification, but it didn't stop there. I had to apply endlessly to different job postings. I was on Glassdoor constantly, and, you know, that was like my daily social media. I was on Glassdoor or, you know, Indeed.com more than Instagram or YouTube. That was pretty much like a full-time job for me, was trying to fill out applications, send my resume in, and, you know, hopefully hear back from the whatever company's HR team. excuse me.
Oh, no, you're fine. So by, you know, you were taking the steps of updating your resume, filling out some of the job postings on, mm-hmm. on places like Indeed and so on. What are some of the other tips that you would say that helped you not just get that initial interview, but actually land that job?
Yeah, so really doing a home lab had really helped me, because of course you have like the, you know, the textbook knowledge, but then to put that in practice and really show an employer that, hey, like I, you know, got this knowledge from studying for my certification and my degree. And here's also a little home lab that I made that is applying these different concepts. And I was, you know, following a YouTube video that was like, I think it's called the Ultimate Pen Test Home Lab or something like that. It was a great YouTube video. It helped walk me through step by step how to set up my virtual machine and really just like how to set up like the networking on on VirtualBox and how like different things are connected to each other, like what is going to be, you know, what is going to be collecting information, what's going to be like your vulnerable host and other things like that, which one is going to be hosting your SIM, other things like that. That lab really exposed me to how to, one, set up proper networking for a home lab, and two, just like kind of go through the whole troubleshooting process of, you know, okay, this isn't connecting, this isn't working, what do I do? And, you know, you Google answers and everything, but, you know, sometimes it's just like playing around with the different settings on the virtual machine, on the software to get something to work. So it definitely taught me some valuable lessons with trying to approach a problem from a different way.
You know, if there's one recurring theme across pretty much every episode we've done on the Cyber Podcast so far, on both the hiring manager side and the person else getting the job, they always respond with one of the things you can really do to stand out in the job process is to create those home labs, is to document your journey publicly so that people can see that you're doing that. They can see you're passionate about what you're working on. You're not just learning the concepts, you're actually applying the concepts. And so as a result of that, when I hire you, I know that you can do at least those things because you have blog posts talking about it. Or, you know, if you're inclined to create videos, you've got videos showing that. Or if you're on LinkedIn, you're sharing tips of what you learned and the mistakes you made in the process of doing that. And in fact, if we go on your blog, and I'll ask you to pronounce the URL of your blog, because I don't think I pronounce it right. So I'll ask you that in just a moment. But when we go on Emily's blog, you can see she's got a blog post on there that talks about, here's how I set this up. Oh, and by the way, here are 3 to 4 issues I ran across while setting this up, and here's how I solved those issues. And even personally, right? But like I said, other hiring managers that have been on the show have said the exact same thing. But personally, when I see that, that's very encouraging, because now I know, okay, Emily went through these issues, but she didn't stop. She figured out how to solve those issues, and then she documented it, proving that she not only ran into those issues, but also solved them. So that's a very good indication of problem solving and not just giving up at the first sign of trouble. So if you don't mind, Emily, spelling the or pronouncing the URL of your blog.
Yes, it is santisecurity.com. And that name is from my maiden name, which is pronounced Santa Pana, and, you know, wanted to put a little spin on the cybersecurity side of it.
I love it. I just didn't want to butcher it and sound like an idiot. So thank you. I appreciate it. And no, if you problem. Want to spell that out, it's S-O-N-T-H-I and then security.com. So you can check out her work on the blog there. And do you also have some social media handles? If anybody's interested in following up, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, so I have a LinkedIn account, and it is, let me pull it up, is.
I have to do the same thing. I can never remember. It's my name, first name, last name.
Yeah. So my LinkedIn URL is Emily-Santhi, S-O-N-T-H-I-Pearson.
Perfect. Okay. So Emily-Santhi Pearson on LinkedIn. If you can't find her, just let me know. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Christoph Limpeler, and I'll be glad to send you the URL to it. But you should be able to search her name, and it should pull up on there. Are you also on Twitter by chance?
I have a Twitter account, but I'm not very active on it. But yeah, I do no have a, yeah, I do have a Twitter handle. I honestly cannot remember what it is, because I barely use it, to be honest.
I try to use Twitter. It's probably my least favorite social media platform, if I'm being honest. I don't necessarily know why. I do try to stay active on it, but I'm definitely a little bit more active and engaging on LinkedIn too. So I can't blame you for that one. But Emily, thank you so much for being on the show today. Is there anything else you can think of to share, or some parting words or tips for anybody who's listening to this and they're very encouraged by your journey and what you're able to accomplish, and they want to follow those footsteps?
Yeah, so I would say definitely, especially for transitioning service members, feel free to reach out to me, especially if you're in an unrelated job field and you want to go into cybersecurity or an IT kind of role. Definitely take that leap, get your certifications done, not only learn to pass certification, but learn to absorb the information so that when you do get an interview and you are met with technical questions, that you'll be well prepared to answer them and kill the interview.
And a quick self plug too, Emily is on our cyber Discord. So if you're not already signed up for the free cyber Discord, definitely do that. And you can always direct message her through that as well. And all you have to do is go to cybercybr.com/Discord. And then if you don't have a Discord account, it takes a couple minutes to set that up. It's really easy and free. And then after that, you can just join our chat rooms and either direct message people or ask questions publicly. And then somebody in the community will jump in and provide some feedback. So Emily, thank you so much for being on the Cyber Podcast. I have no doubt this will inspire a lot of listeners and give them a little bit more clarity into how to get that entry-level job and really following the footsteps that you've done and your great success so far. I can't wait to see what else you do in your career. I know you've got a really bright career ahead of you, and I can't wait to follow that. So thank you, Emily, so much for being here.
Thank you, Christoph.
All right. See you around. Bye-bye.
Bye.